Good morning, everyone. Thank you so very much for being with us today for this period of Bible study together. I've now been with the Crockett congregation over 8 years of time, and I enjoy their attitude toward the Bible teaching and Bible preaching, and they wish it to be spoken by way of this radio broadcast to all the people who listen, and as a result, influence them to be people who love and teach the truth, the Word of God, as it is written. This is the idea that we have in mind today as we study from the Bible on this occasion with you. This is Robert Rawson, and we remind you of our services at the Crockett Church of Christ, located 7 miles from the Interstate 55 on Highway 4, going west toward the Tunica side of the trip. And on the west side of the street, there is the idea of the Crockett congregation. Signs out front, time of services are there at 9:30, at 10:30, and at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. We invite you to be a part of these services with us this very week. You still have time this morning to be ready and to come and be a part of the service with us today. The idea that the truth is important was spoken by Jesus himself in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These disciples of the Lord soon become people who were sent forth, apostles of the Lord, sent forth to teach the word of the Lord. He noted to them that you can know the truth if you continue in my word. If we do not continue in the word of the Lord, we cannot know the truth, nor can we teach it to other people. But if we do continue with Jesus in the word of the Lord, we find a way in which we can be people who serve the cause of God and teach others that which is true, that which is accurate. And as a result of something that is true, we find ourselves pleasing in the sight of God. What did he say again there in John 8 at 32? "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth made them free from their activities of sin from day to day and their foolishness of life from day to day, and made them free and made them to be people who honored the truth by what they lived as well as what they taught to other people. Think about that relationship to the Lord, and think about how joyful it is to have that relationship to work for us as we serve the cause of God. We remind you of the services here at the Crockett Church of Christ this morning. 9:30 is our Bible study time. 10:30 is our preaching service of the Bible and the Lord's Supper time. And it is the case that Sunday night we meet for preaching and the Lord's Supper to be offered to those unable to be present on Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. Now back to the idea of the truth being taught. Jesus said about the truth being taught, it was to be done by the church. Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 at verses 14 and 15, in which he talked about how that the elders of the church are to be qualified men, and deacons of the church are to be qualified men. And he mentions the qualifications of them there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then he says, "These things write I unto you, desiring to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." He was now writing further to Timothy as to how he was to live and behave and do. Notice in this regard that Paul is writing to Timothy a message. His message about qualified elders and qualified deacons of the church, and how that they look for the good spiritual values of the church, and how that they enjoy the relationship that they have with the flock of God. But it is the case that Paul wanted to do that directly with them. But if he did not get to come there as soon as he wanted to, he was now writing these things to them to tell them how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're to be people who dig down and find ourselves a good foundation, and standing on that good foundation, uphold the truth to others around about us. We're to be people who study matters out. We're to look forward to it and stay in the context of the New Testament time in which we express the teaching that the Lord has given to those apostles as He did. As Jesus taught His disciples, and as He taught them to go forth and teach others, and we're glad that they did down the stream of time, it's been taught. And thus it was taught to somebody else and taught to somebody else, and finally taught to my mom and dad the gospel, and they taught it then to me. And then I began to study and explain the matter and be sure that that was what was true and what was accurate. My dad asked me many times about some question along the way. What does the Bible say in full about this subject? Or what does the Bible say in context with us as we live today? I tried to teach that thing. I tried to give him the information that Peter, Paul, James, and Jude gave unto those early disciples in the New Testament of the Bible. Notice what Jesus said regarding the subject of salvation from sin. Am I telling the truth when I quote Mark 16:15-16? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Damnation comes to those who do not believe. Hebrews 11 and down at verse 6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. As the songwriter said many years ago in this regard, what part of impossible do we not understand? When we find ourselves impossible to do something to please God, we find that our faith has been lacking on our part. But in this matter of Mark 16, he tells them regarding their faith in Christ that they are to move their faith and to be repenting, turning from the sin that they've done, and being immersed, being baptized for the remission of their sins. As noted in this regard of Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The fact of the matter is that the Holy Spirit was a gift from God upon those who obeyed as they responded on that day of Pentecost to repentance and baptism into Christ. Notice regarding this matter is explained in Romans chapter 6, in the which Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Notice what is said there. Paul is saying the time was that we lived in sin. The brethren at Rome and he did lived in sin. But now it is time for them to reflect upon the fact that they were buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are so raised to walk in newness of life. That new life began when they came forth from the watery grave of baptism. And they were encouraged to live for the Lord. And there in 1 Timothy 3, at verse 14-15, Paul said, I want to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, he was now writing further dictation to them through Timothy as to what they were to be and do. What about your life today? Is it following the teaching that is given in the New Testament of the Bible? Or are you practicing religion that is simply a religion of entertainment, a religion of joy by entertainment? as a result of that, you found a weekend and time just around the bend from where we have been, and found the joy that you had in regard to those particular things. But is that the teaching of God's Word? Is that the teaching of the Lord? Is that the way that we found ourselves in fellowship with Him? Notice that that fellowship with Him was to be maintained as we are people faithful to the ways of the Lord. It is noted to you and me that we're to be people who honor the truth. What is the truth about a subject? And being people who look at a context and being sure in that context, we're teaching people to be what that says. And as a result of that, we find a joy in salvation from sin. Paul will go on to write Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and down at verse 12 when he says, "Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believer in word, in conversation." And all the other things that he mentions there are things for Timothy to practice in life. How he's to be a person who follows this way of life. It's true that as he's converted to Christ and he begins his new life in Him, he's to go forth and teach others the Word of the Lord. Conversation. Manner of life for them. He's to be a person who teaches the Word of the Lord to them. And in truth, he's to teach that Word. There are six matters of which Paul directs Timothy to teach. And he says, "Let no man despise your youth," meaning the idea that there would be people of that day and time who would tell him that he really didn't have the time and the personal experience, but he did have the revelation of God. And the revelation of God's Word tells him to be a person who is an example to the believer in word and in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading and to exhortation to the doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Notice that in this connection, Timothy was to use and exercise the gift and the teaching of the Lord that he was to give. And as we talk about the Word, the words that we use, the conversation, the manner of life that we bestow, we're not to be people who are an example of somebody who is foolish and foolhardy in life, but we're to be an example of the Lord's way in our daily walk of life. In conversation, we're being an example that someone should not be able to criticize. We're being an individual who find ourselves involved in the Lord in charity, in agape love, in the kind of love that Jesus had for us in giving Himself for us, the kind of love that the Heavenly Father had in the sending of His Son for us. Let's have that agape kind of love as we live in this earth. And thus, as we see people in need and times and circumstances are in need, we lend to them, we tend to them, we serve them, and we invite others to join with us in the helpful aid that we offer. He further says, be an example of the believer in spirit, in your ego of life, in your zeal for living, in your zeal for serving God. We're to be a person who loves the Lord and loves the right things to do in such a matter that we find a real joy in which we can do it. And we find ourselves enjoying that way of life that we live. In spirit, in faith, we're to maintain faith as we give in the Lord's church. We're to maintain faith in the usefulness of those funds to serve the cause of the Lord, locally as well as in other places of the world. We're to be people during this pandemic time. At the Crockett congregation, we found ourselves enjoying a relationship one with another. But we found that those who did not get to attend the services for fear of the pandemic and the problems of the virus still were supportive of the church. And so we didn't miss a check to be written toward the children's home in Morrison, Arkansas, and the children's home in Corinth, Mississippi. This was done just as usual. It was done just as plain And we enjoyed the fact that we did not miss out on the time that we were helping those individuals in this time of pandemic. It's a good thing to do to serve the cause of the Lord and be a person who follows this way. And Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in your conversation of life, in your charity, in your spirit, in your faith, and now in purity. You're to be a person who finds that he is pure in his body, pure in his language, pure in the use of his body. He's not to be, as a young man, violently opposed to the purity of life. Who would trust someone that is not pure in life with their children? But who would trust someone who is pure in life with a testimony of keeping my children while I go to the shop, while I go to the market, while I work outside the home? There is a way in which that can be done, in which there is no hesitation on the part of the individuals to trust you, because you're pure in your thoughts, pure in your mannerisms of life. And as a result, you find yourself being a servant to those individuals in a wonderful, wonderful way. When we talk about these things, we're talking about things that Paul told Timothy to teach. And as he was teaching that, did he expect them to be obedient to it? Well, notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the following in this regard. He says, for this is good. He's talking about the teaching to be done and the words of the Lord. I exhort you, he says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2. Therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for those that are in positions of authority, high authority. He says that you may be used this from day to day and in all your godliness and honesty. And he says, for this is good and knowledgeable in the sight of God, our Savior, who would have all men, 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Notice that when we're saved from sin, that's not all that God wishes for you and me. He doesn't wish just to save us, but He wishes for us to have a knowledge of the truth. He says regarding that knowledge of the truth in verse 5 of 1 Timothy 2 at verse 5, for the teaching of God is one thing and one God. That's the idea that we're to teach. We're to be people who help ourselves to practicing that in every nation and every way of life, every person that we meet comes to a knowledge of the Christ and how He is the Son of God and came to this earth to teach us to do the kind of things that we do. Do we find ourselves enjoying this relationship with the Heavenly Father? And do we find ourselves enjoying this truth of the Lord? Notice the teaching of the truth as we further our study today. It is the case that once we find ourselves forgiven for sin, we find ourselves in membership of the church of our Lord. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Notice that God was steadily adding those who repented and were baptized for the remission of their sins to the church. He was steadily adding them to the church day by day, those that were being saved. Notice in this connection, there are to be people who continued in that salvation way of which Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the words that they speak, in the manner of life that they live, in the charity that they bestow upon others, the love of God to be shown for others, the goodwill that they show to others. This is the way of life they're to live. In spirit, in their ego of life, they're to be zeal and happy and joyful in serving the cause of God. In their faith, there are to be people who believe that as they give, they believe good will be done. As they serve, they believe good will be done. And as a result of their practiced life, they find a way in which they can do things. And their faith and in their purity, There are to be people who get involved not with sensational ways and service of one another in a fleshly way, but they're to be pure in their life, pure in their attitude, pure in their mannerisms toward one another. And as a result, their influence on teaching would be that much better and that much greater. Let's be people who are pillars and ground of the truth. That's what the Lord's church was. 1 Timothy 3:15. I long to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. What is that church named in the New Testament of our Bible? In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, you will notice a statement made that we've adopted regarding the church of God in the New Testament. It's referred to as the church of God, the church of God's dear Son, the church of the firstborn one. Those terms are in reference to the church of our Lord. And notice connection that way. He tells us this about our daily walk of life. If we're people who find ourselves in membership of the church of our Lord, we're to be pillars and the ground of the truth. We're to teach what is true and what's accurate. And in doing that, we don't teach people to gather together for just a joyful occasion, for just a wonderful kind of entertainment that is served. But to the contrary, there are to be people who come together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when he says there about the singing in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, he tells them they're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're to be people who practice that way of life, enjoying the fact that we sing, but enjoying it not to the extent that it's just an entertainment thing for us, but that it is a way in which we bow before the Lord Himself. As a result, we find ourselves pillars and ground of the truth. There's more than one church in the New Testament of the Bible. We read of one church referred to by various terms. The church, over 92 times, is used in the New Testament of the Bible, referring to the people of God, the church. But more than this, reference is made to the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. It's the church of God, not the church of God from a certain city, not the church of God from a certain part of the country, not a church of God from a certain kind of religious belief and teaching, but it's to be the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Notice in connection with this, when we find ourselves in servants of God, we look at all the various terms in reference to the church. It is referred to as the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, the bride of Christ, just like our bride would take our name and be a part of our family, so it is that the church of the Lord is the bride of Christ, taking his name, honoring him as they live, and as they practice a way of life. We're talking about serving the Lord today in facts, in faith, and in truth. We're finding ourselves enjoying a relationship with him, and not a relationship that is based upon just hope alone. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, we read that we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? Notice that we're saved by hope, but that hope that we have is to be more than faith only. In James chapter 2 and in verse 24, it is plainly noted. One is saved by faith only? No, that James teaches that we're justified by works and not by faith only. James 2 and verse 24. We're to be people who are justified by works. Our works? No, that type of thing was taught not to be the way of salvation. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, Paul writes regarding his hope in the Lord. And he tells them that his hope in the Lord and his justification before God was not by his own works of righteousness, but by the works that he did of the Lord Jesus Christ. The works that Jesus told him to do, the actions that Jesus told him to take. That's what he read And that's what made him righteous before God. It is the case that as we find ourselves in faith, we find ourselves moving to activate that faith. That faith is to be activated by works, serving God, doing what He said do. And notice in this connection, it is referred to in James chapter 1 and in verses 26 and 27, that we're to be people who follow the teaching of the Lord. And as we do that, we're to honor it in the way that we do. Citing James chapter 1, verse 26, "But if any man appear to be religious among you, and bridleth not his tongue, this man deceives himself, and his religion is vain." Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless, that is to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The kind of activity in life that we have to bestow upon others and for others is to be based upon the teaching of truth that we've done, the kind of teaching that we've given. It's not a matter of just appearing to be religious and not bridling our tongue. We're to be people who bridle that tongue and practice a pure religion. How that we practice that pure religion, we find ourselves not deceiving our own hearts, but that religion being vain. But pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to care for the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Be a person who serves the cause of God, and regardless of the worldly circumstances about life of which you find yourself engaged, desire that the truth be taught and the truth be told as we live before these individuals in life. Be an example for others, and be an example of the truth as you live that way of life. If you're just an example of a church getting together to entertain and be people who are involved in that way of life, no. But be a person who finds yourself involved in teaching the truth. And being the pillar and ground of the truth is what the Lord's church was described as doing in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Let's be people then who find ourselves looking into the Scripture and finding ourselves on whatever it is that our church leaders tell us that we need to practice. They found themselves honoring the way that they were taught, the way that they were guided, the way that they were shown of the truth. And they then told it to others. And they told it to others in such a way that they found themselves overjoyed to have new membership and added membership to the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20, verse 28. And they found themselves enjoying a relationship in the which you could say, in this regard, they found themselves added by the Lord to His church, day by day, those that were being saved from sin. What a blessing it is to be with you today and to study with you about the truth, the pillar and ground of the truth, and the ways of the Lord. And that's the way of life that we should follow. Thanks, Drew, for your time. And don't forget that you can hear this message again, the Crockett MS Church of Christ.com. On the website, CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. And you will find this message again along with others that are there. Thank you for your time. This is Robert Rawson.